voters until 2010. I believe we want voters to choose between a good voter-owned election system and a system with huge holes, as we discovered in March 2006. I don't understand why you need to rush these proposals to the ballot. There are at least four elements of the form of government proposal which are outright illegal. Commissioner Saltzman, do you really want the mayor to have the authority to move natural streams and waters of the state? Mayor Potter, do you really want the power to punish paupers? I am shocked that you would even propose sending such language to the ballot in May. I admit to feeling conflicted in raising these issues because, like the opponents of public campaign financing, I would rather you send a deeply flawed recommendation to the ballot, as they will be easier to defeat. But don't we want to know, once and for all, or at least for the next 10 years, whether Portlanders like the current form of government or want to change? If you want to know that, you need to send a good proposal to the ballot and have a public process that will have time to discuss it. You can't just send something which is so obviously a problem and we'll get defeated and we won't be any further forward and we will have wasted all of the work that the Charter Review Commission has put in. Regarding the ballot measure summaries, I'm again surprised that there's no mention of citizen involvement. Under the Bureau directors are currently hired by individual commissioners. That should state Bureau directors and citizen committee members are appointed by individual commissioners, and the change is to allow hiring and firing of Bureau directors and appointment of all citizen committees by the mayor. That needs to be made clear. If we want to let people know what they as citizens, how they as citizens are affected by this, it means that instead of five members of the council appointing people to the Planning Commission, the Parks Board, the Charter Review Commission, although that indeed is specified, but most commissions for all bureaus will be under the mayor's authority to appoint those citizens. I think that's a problem. Secondly, it doesn't, under the last issue where it says the changing the process for filing vacancies in city elective office, what it does is take away the capacity for special elections. And that's a problem. It takes away that capacity for city commissioners. It takes away that capacity, the mayor. It creates a deputy mayor position, which would be the president of the council, who would automatically take over the functions of the mayor in the event of an unexpected vacancy. And since the election for the new mayor could only go on the regular elections in either March, May, September, or November, that means that possibly an unelected person or somebody who wasn't elected to be mayor could be in charge of all city bureaus and the budget and the CAO for up to a year. I think that's a major problem, and that it should have the capacity for a special election, both for city commissioner vacancies and for the mayor vacancy.
My name is David Martinez, and first of all, I'd like to thank the council for appointing me to the Charter Review Commission. This morning, listening to all the discussions that have taken place, and again, reaffirming the significance of the work that we did on the commission really leads me to say thank you. Because I think, as one of our commissioners already mentioned, one of the Charter Review commissioners already mentioned, everyone on the commission took their responsibility very seriously and were invested, and they were looking for what was best for Portland. My testimony today, I'm going to read, as a member of the Charter Review Commission, I would urge you to allow Portland voters to consider the Charter Review recommendations. After months of intense discussions and deliberations, I am confident in the process and the outcome of the Charter Review Commission. This is a significant endeavor we undertook, and like my fellow commission members, I took my responsibilities very seriously. I understood the impact the recommendations we were considering would have to the city of Portland. Each of us on the commission has different constituencies and connections to the community. I know that I cannot represent all their views. However, I know that I did provide input and advocacy throughout the process. There is no question the form of government will determine the future direction of our city. So many times, government finds itself responding to a crisis and then initiating a change. I feel we have a unique opportunity to engage the community in this important discussion. Instead of posing this question in a reactionary mode, we are being proactive and asking ourselves to decide what we want our future to be. Thank you very much for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Next, we have Chris Smith and James Lee.
Good afternoon, Mayor, members of council. I spoke at the last hearing on my objections to the substance of this measure, so I won't repeat that. I will say that watching this process this morning and watching language be conceived, debated, and sent to the ballot in a matter of hours or minutes scares me greatly, and I think is a proof that we should have a longer process to do this. I'm going to confine my remarks to the ballot title. I've been involved in two actions before the Oregon Supreme Court. One was about parking structures in Northwest Portland. The other was about ballot title language for a state ballot measure. I have been involved in the ballot measure wars against Mr. Sizemore, Mr. McIntyre on other issues like term limits. So I know how crucial ballot title language is. It in many cases, is the voter's only interaction with the substantive question. I much prefer Commissioner Sten's version of the title language. I think the concept of a transfer of authority is very important to capture in the question. I actually think it doesn't go far enough, and we should be indicating that in the caption. I believe that some form of phrase should be added to the caption saying strengthens role of mayor or consolidates executive authority. Those first 10 words should give the voter a strong indication of the direction that these amendments would send our city in. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is James Lee, and I thank you for hearing me here today. My first concern is to wish Commissioner Adams a speedy recovery and prolonged good health. Last week, I circulated a rather extensive letter to Mayor Potter and the commissioners, and that contains the substance of my position on this issue. But there's one particular question, after hearing all this testimony, which still really concerns me, and that is embodied in section 2402 on page 44, which states rather innocuously that the salary of the auditor shall be fixed by the council. But as I look at all the other issues, like all the other offices, like the mayor, the CAO, the city attorney, and the councilors themselves, there is no such language. And I would like to know why, in particular, that article, that sort of language applies only to the auditor. And also I noticed in my letter to the mayor that there is no specific section devoted to the duties of the commissioners or of what I would call the councilors. Now, I tackled Mr. Wong on this by email last week, it was. I don't think I got a responsive answer out of it. Something about it being in the elective officers section 2-201 and so on and so forth. But I find both of those issues to be rather puzzling. In fact, I think I find the whole form of government in its two separate chapters to be really quite carelessly drafted. And I think I would have to echo what Commissioner Sten and Commissioner Leonard have said, that, and many of the people who have testified here, that this thing really has to be seriously reworked before people can vote on it. I am in favor of modifying our form of government. I think it's important that we do that, but I think it has to be done correctly. And basically, that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
All who signed up.
Discussion?
I guess one question, Mayor. Is it, because I didn't realize, is it accurate that the mayor under this new form would make all the appointments to Planning Commission, et cetera?
Looking for that.
As Amanda testified.
I didn't see that. I couldn't find the, mine doesn't have a page 42. Did yours?
I think he's talking about the report of the Charter Commission.
The Charter Review Commission.
Currently, it's by the commissioner in charge, and since there won't be a commissioner in charge, the mayor will be in charge, then the mayor will get to do a visit.
Mayor, was that an intended?
Where does that at? I just want to make sure we're discussing the very same thing. So, Does anybody from the city attorney's office have the appropriate page?
Just one second.
What I understand Amanda saying, that might not be in the charter. It might be a code.
It's a practice. It's a privilege of the commissioner in charge to make those appointment recommendations.
But is that found in the code somewhere?
Yes.
Okay, so it wouldn't be in the charter. What her point is, with the mayor taking over responsibility for all bureaus, all codes that refer to the commissioner in charge would then actually go to the mayor, right?
Yes, and the provision is in 2301 under the duties of the mayor, sub C, appoint members of boards and commissions subject to confirmation by the council. That's the proposed new language. And if I might, I just would like to point out that a number of the comments about language that have been of concern to people are current language that is in the charter now and is not being changed. And in the report that came out from the Charter Review Commission, the deletions and additions were not marked. They are marked in the resolution so that people can see what was current, what is current language and what is new language.
I guess the bigger point is that there is so much coming at people so quick, it's difficult to discern that. That's actually the point.
I guess my question there for Mayor Potter or whoever wants to speak to it is that, you know, is that a policy result that's being argued that the legislative and policy body should not even be able to nominate those people who actually draft policy, which is the Planning Commission and the Housing Community Development Commission and I can go and the Design Commission and the PDC. Is that the intent? Because that would actually seem to be more, under your form, it would seem to me to be more appropriate to have council be more involved in appointing policymakers as opposed to dramatically less than it is now.
If you don't mind me addressing this issue.
Yeah, I'd be delighted.
The intent of the Charter Review Commission was to give the mayor power to appoint the CAO, the Bureau of Directors, and the members of boards and commissions with the consent of council, so keeping those checks and balances there. In the recommended form, nothing prevents city councilors from recommending nominees to the mayor.
So I think a lot of what this debate about is, David, is about sort of how do things really work versus what does a textbook say? And do you understand that political people don't like to vote against mayoral nominations of people they like? I mean, if a mayor brings a balance committee forward, as opposed to the committee is created by, this is why I made the change on the commission form and or on the charter reform proposal that went out and said the commissioners will each appoint four, because what you're basically equating with your argument that is in the real world is equally a check and balance to say if you take the 20 or so commissions that matter and we nominate, you know, not equally because we have very different bureaus, but each of us nominates to some number of those 20 and the council confirms all of them, that's an equal check and balance to diversity and those other things to one person nominating them all. And in practice, the reality is that it's very difficult once a job has been offered to somebody, and particularly a full commission, for a political body to turn around and justify not appointing that person. So the nomination power is an enormous way to shape it, and clearly not an administrative power, clearly not an executive power. It's clearly, it belongs more with the legislative body. I just want you to own that and not try and say that it's a similar check and balance.
No, certainly, but we believe that having the council approval would provide those checks and balances if the mayor was attempting to appoint members or bureau directors or a CEO who is not qualified for the position.
I guess what I'm getting at is if you want, and I do, and this is why I'm going to oppose your ballot measure, the city to value democracy and diversity over efficiency, then you will have, by definition and in practice and in the real world of politics, a much more diverse set of actors working on things if they're appointed by a wider group of people. It's just human nature, it's contacts, it's who you know, and so by shrinking the appointment process to one person, and as a practical matter, it really matters who is on a commission, and this body does not and should not, for the most part, I believe, turn down appointments because you'd rather have somebody else. We only turn down appointments when we think the person is not qualified. So basically, what you're now saying is rather than having five people provide names and contacts through their networks for all of the commissions, you're going to have one. So you certainly have a check and balance, but you don't have, it's again a trade, which is I think what you're arguing for, of sort of mini streams flowing in at to one.
I don't think that's what I'm saying. I think what we're saying is that nothing in the recommended form of government prevents the city councilors for also participating in the nomination process and recommending names to the mayor. It's simply the power of the mayor to make those appointments subject to confirmation by council. But nothing prevents you from participating in that process in the recommended form.
So what is the current charter language?
Well, looking for the charter language, there's two types of appointments in my recollection. There are appointments that are actually by code delegated to the commissioner in charge to nominate with approval. There's actually three kinds. There are appointments that actually reside in the commissioners in charge and don't need city council approval. And there are appointments that are by practice delegated by the mayor to the commissioner in charge. And so to give you an example of what I mean by that, I nominate Housing Community Development Commission members to the council, and I can Housing Authority members are done by the mayor, but with both Mayor Katz and you, it's tended, you've asked me to give you names first. And so there's three different kinds. And then there's actual formal official city committees that are appointed directly by the commissioner in charge. And so I think it would take all three of those models and consolidate them into the mayor's purview, if I'm understanding it right. Because the mayor is the commissioner in charge of all three, right?
All of
those things revolve around the commissioner in charge role.
I need to hear what the current charter says.
In answer to that question, under the current Section 2103 boards and commissions, the charter appears largely silent on it, but what it does say is the council may create and establish such boards and commissions as it may deem necessary, in addition to the boards and commissions established by this charter, and may abolish or alter them from time to time.
That's the existing language?
That's the existing language under 2-103 of the current charter, I believe.
And then what do you replace that with?
That's replaced by... Section 2-301, now under the mayor section, 2-301, subsection C, the mayor shall have authority to appoint members of boards and commissions subject to confirmation by council.
You actually go from a charter that's relatively weak on that question and actually explicitly say the mayor gets all that power. So it's...
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm not sure what section David was citing, but section 2601 of the current charter says the mayor shall appoint members of boards and commissions subject to council confirmation. Heads of other offices and bureaus shall be appointed by the commissioner in charge of the department in which such bureau or office or bureau is assigned. So it currently provides that the mayor shall appoint members of boards and commissions subject to council approval. So it's the same delegation there.
So what would be consolidated, though, is the ones that obviously anything that the commissioner in charge appoints would be under the mayor. And the practical reality, I mean, one of the strengths of our form of government, I believe, and we'll be debating this, it looks like, over the next couple of months, is that you do have commissioners who develop some substantial expertise in areas. And as a matter of practice, the mayor does often look for those nominations from the commissioner in charge. And over time, I believe, this is not a legal question, so you don't have to answer it, I believe that practice would very naturally deteriorate because you would not have a commissioner in charge to turn to in those cases. And it's a variety of reasons, both political and substantive, that a mayor would turn to a commissioner in charge to nominate members, and I think that would be weakened under this form by any estimation because you wouldn't have a commissioner in charge. The mayor would turn to themselves in essence.
Well, but a number of the requests that I get are from commissioners are not areas under their legal purview, that it's their interest in the area. So it's a mix of those things, but I can only remember once in the last 2 years that I said I'm uncomfortable with this candidate. Other than that, it was total.
No, and what I'm getting at, I don't disagree with that. I think if you you know, the language that's being proposed for the ballot measure is trying very hard to point out that our charter's been in place since 1913, which I'm not sure is relevant. Our constitution's been here a lot longer. But in 2113, I have a feeling that the mayor would have long since, you know, dispatched with having, you know, an expert on each of these subjects, because you don't run for the council very often as expert on, oh, utility rates. You end up digging into that because you're assigned to do so. So when it comes time to appoint the Public Utility Review Board, the mayor tends to turn to the person who's expert on utility rates, which tends to be one or two commissioners that are involved in utilities. I would make a thesis that the mayor will never be expert in utility rates because they won't have time, not because they're not interested or capable, but they'll have so many other things to do. And I can quite surely postulate that if I were elected to the commission that's proposed, I would not dig into utility rates as I got to pick what I was working on. So I think what you'd have is a situation where you wouldn't have anyone to turn to on the Public Utility Review Board on the council nominations, which is kind of created in this case. And so, again, I'm not saying that's a legal issue. I'm just saying that's a strength of this government, in my opinion.
Other discussion?
So do we have a motion on the table relative to the...
Yes, the two amendments. What I heard from the city attorney is that both of these are fairly equal. That it's a political question as to which is preferred. And as the party supporting the form of government, I prefer to have the one that we crafted with the city attorney.
Well, I think the argument's been made. I, of course, worked with the city attorney on my proposal as well and does pass muster. I just think as the two undecided votes make up their mind that I don't think you can say that the image that one gets in their mind correctly from the verb retain is accurate as to what this is doing. It is transferring executive and administrative powers from the city council to the mayor's office. And if that is the proposal that is best for Portland, one ought to stand by that proposal and champion it and not say, use language like retain power when you're basically saying you have a city council who has quite a bit of power now, arguably too much from the other side, that voting this form of government will retain what the city council has. It will transfer it. And I just don't see how one can escape that conclusion. And I would much prefer, as we get out there and respectfully and vigorously debate these deals, that I don't have to land on the argument that it's a misleading question as well as a bad idea.
Well, I think that the city attorney resolved the issue whether it's misleading or not.
She reserved whether it's legal or not. It's my opinion that it's misleading.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Would it be possible for someone to read the two questions, one after the other, just so I make sure I've got the latest version of both Commissioner Stinn's and yours?
Okay. I'll read Commissioner Stinn's first. Question. Shall executive authority be transferred from commissioners to the mayor and council be limited to legislative and quasi-judicial duties? My question, shall mayor have executive and administrative authority and manage chief administrative officer and city council retain legislative authority? This is just below the caption which says amends charter, changes form of government. So I think the caption...
City government.
Excuse me, city government. I think the caption defines the issue, and this says what it shall do.
Thank you.
And there are some minor and perhaps important differences in the summaries, but I would be you know, in the spirit of trying to get this thing done, comfortable accepting the mayor's summary.
Can I ask our city attorney? I wanted to ask you a question. Under the former government proposal, is the city council remaining responsibilities truly limited to legislative and quasi-judicial? Or is there something else out there?
I believe it is certainly intended to be primarily legislative and quasi-judicial. The concern I have in there's a lot of the charter that is not being primarily changed, but there are conforming amendments that are being made, and the council has numbers of responsibilities in certain places that are going to stay there under this proposal. I have to say, I'm not sure exactly where every single thing falls out. If something in the abstract might be considered some executive function which the council currently and will continue to have, like setting the auditor's salary. I truthfully can't tell you that I know for sure whether that's an executive or a legislative function. It's in the charter now, and it's staying that way. And so, but it's clearly the intention of the proposal that the council be the legislative and quasi-judicial body, and the mayor have the executive authority.
The more
fundamentally, that is true.
Expanded version is found on page 15. Under Chapter 2, Government, Article 1, the Council. And it defines the Council by charter in terms of responsibilities to include adopt legislation and set city policy in the form of ordinances and resolutions, develop and adopt a strategic plan that reflects the city's goals and vision, adopt the city's budget, exercise legislative oversight over the city's executive and administrative functions, establish such committees as it determines appropriate to facilitate the work and make appointments to those committees. Committees may include members other than council members. However, the chair of each committee must be a council member. Represent the residents of the city and establish procedures to facilitate access to city government and access by council members to all residents in all areas of the city. Confirm executive appointments where provided for in this charter, and exercise all other powers given it in this charter. And it also refers to the quasi-judicial powers. So it's broader than that, but in 20 words, which is what we have for the question, I think that you can't possibly get all this stuff on there, but it is found here in the actual charter change itself.
And Mayor, is it your view that saying that power is transferred is detrimental to your cause?
Yours was
transferred.
Transferred from commissioners to the mayor. But the actual word that I have a problem with is limited, because it's not limited. It has all these other duties as well.
Those are legislative duties you just read. I listened to you read them.
Yes, but this is supposed to be written in plain language, and you can't get all of this on there.
Well, what I'm saying is the term legislative encompasses all of those things you read.
If we could agree on shall executive authority be transferred from commissioners to the mayor and council be blank, I'd be certainly open to the insertion of a different verb for limited. My human thesaurus isn't getting it. The assigned legislative and yeah, it's not quite assigned.
Retain is already there, so.
What's in your version? What he's saying is he could live with having retain in his version that word and then have transferred from commissioner to the mayor.
I mean, I guess I can't compel it, but I think we need some feedback from Commissioner Adams and Saltzman, because I don't know if there's three votes for either one at this point. So before you and I get two words, but I think we might want to see. I believe we're in the debate discussion part, so I think it's appropriate to talk about where people are. I believe there's two votes for my version, but I don't know if there's a third, and I don't know what it would take to get a third, and I don't know how many there are for your version.
Exercise.
Well, is the goal to get to 5 votes on this, or is the goal still, at best, we're going to be 3-2? It's just.
I'd take 3.
No, I mean, I'll second that. Okay, so in other words, by trying to incorporate some of your suggestions, we're still going to end up on a.
No, if we could get to something, that, if we get to, I've just said split. That if you wanted to, you know, I think, and I please don't let me put words in your mouth, but I think you were saying you're comfortable with my first clause, and I'd be comfortable to work on my second clause if that would get us to 5. And I let me say, I do think it would be vastly preferable for there not to be a debate, which is what I'm seeking around by this council whatsoever on the quality of the question that's going to the voters. I really believe the debate should be on the quality of the idea, not the quality of the question. So that's, you know. So
if we went with the first part of the mayor's question.
Actually.
And then the second part.
The first part of Mr. Stenz.
First part of Mr. Stenz.
How about this?
And the second part, and council retains legislative and quasi-judicial duties. That would get us to
Are you saying that by doing that you would support moving this forward?
Well, I'm thinking about it. You don't like limited, and I don't like retained.
Well, I think the question is, are you going to vote to refer this to the ballot? Not.
No.
Okay. You two were having different conversations.
That's what I meant. Five votes to refer to the. Are we getting towards 5 votes to refer to the ballot?
I was going to have to give my summer soldier speech.
You're an optimistic man, Dan. But come on. This is. What about? And I'm just going to try this out loud and see if I even think it makes sense. What about? Shall executive authority be transferred from commissioners to the mayor and council, exercise legislative and quasi-judicial duties? So I get what you're saying about limited being a loaded word. If we said exercise, that would be just that's what we do.
Let's get an opinion from the mayor, from the city attorney's office.
City attorney?
I think they're conferring right now.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you.
So is the question, shall the mayor have, shall executive authority be transferred from commissioners to the mayor and the council exercise legislative and judicial authority?
Quasi-judicial
authority.
Or duties is fine. Duties is fine.
I think either is fine.
I think procedurally my amendment to your amendment is first up. So I'm going to move to amend my amendment to say shall executives to say, and I want to be that I would amend my amendment to move that the entire submission be the caption from the mayor's proposal, which says amends charter, changes form of city government. The question to say, shall executive authority be transferred from commissioners to the mayor and council, exercise legislative and quasi-judicial duties, and then the summary statement from the mayor's proposal as written.
Second that.
I can live with that.
And Mayor, what do you think of that?
I think I can live with that change.
You trained him well, Vera.
She's speechless. It's never happened.
Okay, so that's the amendment, and yes. All other things are the same, correct? On
the ballot.
I'm essentially I'm essentially modifying your question and keeping everything else in your caption and summary the same.
Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
And there the agreement ends.
No more Mr. Nice Guy, huh?
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
Okay, the Any further issues or questions? Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Well, in my view, this proposed change to the city constitution virtually eliminates accountability. Under the current system, each council member and the mayor are directly accountable to Portland citizens for the services our assigned bureaus provide. In my case, I have the Bureau of Development Services, the Bureau of Emergency Communication, and the Water Bureau. Citizens contact me directly with problems they have with each of those bureaus. I personally respond to each of those inquiries. I know that the performance of my bureaus in meeting citizens' needs is the measure by which I will keep my job on the council or not. Therefore, I am very focused on citizens being treated with the respect and solution-oriented problem-solving that I expect of employees. No other city government I am aware of has the type of dynamic council as we have here with our elected members overseeing directly the services that are provided citizens. It is that direct managerial duty that each of the five of us has that keeps each council member directly connected to the citizens of Portland. It is my opinion that the current form of government is unique to Portland because Portlanders are unique. A couple of weeks ago, the mayor was asked how the city would be different if these proposed changes were in place the last 2 years. I thought I would actually take this opportunity to answer that question for myself. In the summer of 2005, at about 5:30 at night, the phone in my office rang.
Oh, I thought you were going to...
Excuse me?
Did I say the wrong year?
No, I thought you were going to tell a story about me calling you in the San Juans.
That's a good story, too, actually. I would tell. But it was actually about a month after the mayor called me on vacation to tell me I had the Water Bureau, that I was in my office, 5:30 at night. It was 95 degrees outside. It had been pretty hot for a while. And on the other end was a woman. And let's call her Ms. Jones for the purpose of these discussions. Ms. Jones lived at Southeast 79th right off Holgate. She told me over the phone that her water had been turned off, that she was a single mom. She had two children, one disabled child. Her water had been turned off and had been off for 3 days before she called. I asked her the circumstances of the turnoff, and what she explained to me was her landlord had actually called from Florida to the customer services section, which, by the way, was under the mayor, including those that turned off the water were under the mayor. The Water Bureau did not turn the water off. At that time, those responsibilities were under the Office of Management and Finance. Her landlord called to pay the bill over the phone. He didn't want his tenant, who had a disabled child, to be without water during a heat wave. The folks that work in the Office of Management and Finance said, sorry, we don't take Visa. So her water stayed off. However, when she called my office, I did have responsibility for the Water Bureau. I called the Water Bureau dispatcher and directed that a service crew go out and turn her water on, and we would figure out the details later. But I could not, in good conscience, stand by and allow the Office of Management and Finance turn off this woman's water. If this proposal had been in place 2 years ago, I would not have been assigned the Water Bureau, and that woman's water would have stayed off. These proposed changes, in my view, eliminate accountability. The mayor has a CAO who would oversee operations such as water turnoffs. And does anybody really think that an unelected CAO that does not even have to live within the city limits of Portland would deviate from his employees' written procedures for water turnoffs? I will tell you, no. In that example, the mayor does not have to claim responsibility. The city council does not have the responsibility, and the CAO is simply following the rules of the bureaucracy without deviation. This proposal removes the current checks and balances and changes that to checkmates. Unless you are wealthy enough to have consultants and lawyers who specialize in navigating the complicated new bureaucracy this proposed charter review will be sent, that is going to the voters, then and only then Does that make sense for you? Which might explain why some of Portland's wealthiest have been quoted as saying that the proposed changes to the charter are a, and I quote, no-brainer. Well, for their interests, it might be a no-brainer. They can hire attorneys and they can hire planners that can navigate the system. But for the average working-class Portlander, this proposal is a non-starter. A CAO will run the city. That person is assigned the powers currently given to the four elected commissioners. The CAO cannot be removed by the council, and the CAO, which is literally responsible for everything from police and fire services to issuing building permits, is not even required to live in Portland. I just wonder how Portlanders will feel having a person that lives in Vancouver, Lake Oswego, or Beaverton overseeing police, fire, 911, Office of Neighborhood Involvement, Water Bureau, Sewer Bureau, building permits or sustainability, parks, and on and on and on. I actually don't know if I'm more disturbed by the changes proposed or the fact that there are actually three people on this council that will vote for them. Finally, I urge Portlanders to mark their ballots like I'm about to vote no.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to, you know, thank the Charter Review Committee and say that this is certainly, you know, it's I think it's very difficult for maybe all five of us up here to sort of hold the mirror up to ourselves and not see perfection. But what I've come to learn over the years is, you know, we don't have the perspective necessarily to judge our performance that well. I mean, we hear the polls come out every day, Portland's number one in this, Portland's number one in that, and we love it, you know. But I do think that there are perhaps better, more efficient ways for this government to run. I'm not sure the proposal I'm going to support to send to the ballot is the perfect one. But I do believe it is worthy of the public debate and discussion that will ensue over the next several months. And I do believe we should do it in May because momentum dissipates and there won't be the quality of enhanced discussion between a November versus a May. I just don't think will really materialize. People won't focus on things unless they have a deadline. Nothing focuses the mind like a deadline. So I do believe we should put this out there, have the debate. It'll be a robust one. And as I said, I see pros and cons in the current form of government. I see pros and cons in the proposed changes. And, you know, I will be evaluating that self over the next month or so, a couple months, as I make up my own mind how I'm going to vote on this measure. But I do think that the description of the world under, as Commissioner Leonard just provided, kind of ignores the fact that there are going to be still five elected people setting policy, not a CAO. The CAO's prime objective will be to make sure those policies get carried out as determined by a five-person council. I also say that, you know, on behalf, and another way to support this measure is if we're going to get to the next round, which some people want, which are a larger number of council members, districted seats, this measure is a precursor. It's a necessary precursor to do that because I would never support any version of a council mix-up that would have us in charge of bureaus and also be elected by geographic districts. You know, it's then like, you know, what part of town gets the best response to their sewer or water problems would set up that whole dynamic. So if you really want to go to the precursor of setting up geographic districts, a precursor in my mind is to have a CAO and council members confined to policy issues. So I'm more than happy to have the debate and let the debate occur, and that's why I vote to send this to the voters. Aye.
Stan.
Well, let me start by again thanking Chair Wong and your commission. I think you guys did very, very good work and did stay with things and push it. I actually don't think the failure to process this more and sort of push more is actually on your doorstep as much as it is as this council for moving it forward so quickly. If it had moved more slowly, I would not support it. And today I'm going to, I may have with the civil service and the others, but today I want to just talk about why I think Portlanders should vote no on this ballot measure, which is headed there now. I just can't buy, and I think it gets ducked around by the proponents of this way too easily and quickly, the notion that yeah, we're better than just about every place else. We're more unique than just about every place else. But we're so darn good that we'd be really kicking their butt if we had the same form of government as them. I think that when you look at Portland's triumphs, it's because Portland is different. And we have a lot of work to do. If you've ever heard my colleagues, myself, any of the activists out there, nobody argues that things are perfect in Portland. Nobody argues that we haven't suffered through high unemployment rates. We have kids dropping out. We have neglect on the streets. We have unaffordable housing that's partly because this has become a great place to live. We have lots and lots of problems to work on. But at the same time, I remain optimistic and proud of this community's successes. We have many, many things that have happened. We are now perennially the best bicycling city, the best walking city. People are flocking here who could live anywhere. Young people that are creative and bringing jobs and new ideas. Everybody recognizes that thanks to Mayor Katz's leadership in the 90s, we have become a place that's internationally significant that people want to come to, and they're coming here from those places because it's different. They're coming here because it's unique. They're coming here, and it's our job to try and make things work and make it happen. We have more green buildings than anywhere in the world. We have we are making progress on affordable housing, on homelessness. We are the only city in this country, which is internationally significant, to reduce greenhouse gas and make progress on global warming. We are the only city in this country that is making progress on transportation. We have led the way so that streetcars are now federally funded. That had a lot of help from Earl, of course, but we have put models in place. The River District is the only place in this country where you've had this type of dynamic urban redevelopment, and even if you don't like it, and some do not, you have to accept the fact that 20% of the housing units that have been built in the River District are affordable to the poor. Never happened in this country, has never happened before. It happened in Portland, Oregon. I can go on and on and on. I am so proud of this city, and to say it's because we're doing that with one hand tied behind our back just doesn't make any sense. The burden is on those who want change to prove that it's necessary, and you're not even close on this argument. It's a theory that we could be even better than the rest by changing something that makes us unique. It doesn't hold up when you really look at it. The reason I picked the examples that I've picked is that I think that one of the factors, and I want to be absolutely crystal clear, one of the factors that leads us to having the best green building strategy in this nation is that Commissioner Saltzman is devoted to it, and he has administrative and executive authority over the Office of Sustainable Development. Yes, we would be doing well on green buildings if Commissioner Saltzman did not have that authority, but I do not think we would have made it as far as we have, because I don't think the mayor would have had time to look at the codes, to dig in the pieces, and I don't, in my experience, policy recommendations coming from a council, a Senate, or anything else do not carry the weight of a directive from your boss. If any of you think you respond to a policy suggestion the same way you do to your boss calling you and telling you what's about to happen next, I'd love to hear about that. But that's not how it works. I also think this system is incredibly accountable. I will agree with you, and I'm going to get back to accountability, that perhaps this other system will be more efficient. Perhaps it will. I don't value that over green buildings, over homelessness, over transportation systems, over a sense of democracy and a sense of that we are different and special and unique. We see bumper stickers, keep Portland weird. Well, maybe this form of government is weird, but it seems to be proving results. But let's talk a little bit about accountability. Hardest thing I've ever done in my professional life is be your point person on the Water Bureau mess. And people point to that. I did not see Mayor Katz nodding her head when she thinks that would have been stopped by a CAO, and I can go in on it and talk about it. That's not the point. The point is when that happened, I stood up and was counted. I took the calls personally. I went on the television stations. I never once asked the Water Bureau administrator, who I fired, by the way, asked him to resign, same thing, to take those calls. I went on myself. You find me a debacle in any city in this country in which a city council member who's legislative takes responsibility and pledges to fix something and let me know about it. And you find me a city in which something as deep down in the bureaucracy as a billing system for a waters has come up that the mayor has owned, and I'd like to see that too. I don't think it's a coincidence, even though I understand your philosophical construct, that not one person who proposes this will name a single city they'd take over Portland. And there's lots of fancy footwork of why it's not appropriate, but at the end of the day, that's what we are. We're a city, there's hundreds of them out there, and we're not willing to say one is better than us, but we are willing to say that the dominant form of government that they all have would make us better. It doesn't add up to me. Flip side of the water bills. I have had the great privilege of working with tons of people on this, but I do believe that we would not have made as much progress on homelessness as we have in the last 2 years, 1,000 chronically homeless people off the street, if I did not have the privilege and the authority to lead that effort and had some administrative ability to change things and move things and make decisions. I will take the results I've been able to get on that, thanks to other people doing all the work, but me being able to lead it, to any amount of efficiency that you might get from having an appointed person. I also believe that the system that you're proposing will err to less innovation. When you look at things, people innovate because they have the safety from their boss to do it. Political elected officials who are elected directly by the people in a progressive city where people are honest and smart like Portland are going to run for these jobs and find that they are rewarded and thanked and reelected even if they innovate and fail. Appointed officials will be scared to fail because that they will want to not be fired. And so I think that one of the reasons that Portland is so strong is that you have people like, and legacies, it's not just one person. Earl Blumenhauer started the streetcar. Charlie Hales built it, and Commissioner Sam Adams is going to extend it all over the city, it appears. And that is not because they are the sole authority person. It's not because that. It's because they have the time and the special expertise to bridge. Somebody once put a picture of my teeth on Willamette Week and called it bridging the gap. And I think what this council is able to do is bridge those kinds of gaps. Maybe not my teeth. And what we are able to do in these jobs, and it's why I think it's such a form of government that I treasure, is that we are in a very unique position that admittedly does not exist in other places in the country, where we sit as a legislative body, directly work on things that we care about, and can actually make a few things happen from time to time. And making those few things happen does not make me responsible for the change that has come in homelessness and Dan responsible for the change that has come in green buildings. But what it has done is empowered the people under us who know that if they innovate and take a risk and go that extra mile, they will not be punished. They're free to make things change and innovate. And I think that is what sets our form of government apart. If you think I'm passionate about it, you bet. If you think that we've debated process, let's debate substance. No.
Potter.
Well, you folks are getting a free preview of what's going to be happening over the next 3 months. And I think, quite frankly, in a democracy, this is healthy. And I also will look forward to going out and discussing this in the community, because ultimately it will be the voters of Portland who make this decision. Just as they did in 1913, in May of 1913, did they approve the commission form of government? Of course, what they were looking to do was to find experts in certain areas that they could bring in as elected officials that would take care of certain parts of city business. So when you're through here, walk around just the second floor. You can walk up to the third floor and look on the front of my office and find out what we are the commissioners of. That's what the commission form of government was designed to do. And it was from Galveston. It was because they had a huge problem there with I'm not sure if it's a tornado or a hurricane, but they had some huge problems that weren't being taken care of. This form of government, the commission form, does have good things, and it does have things that I think need to improve. I really thought about this. I've been thinking about it for many years. Thought, what if you could design a government that kept a lot of the good things that we have, but improved in certain areas? And so if you were to sort of clean your mind for just a few minutes and think to yourself, what would you do in terms of creating a government that works well, that retains the spirit of Portland, that goes to the issue of accountability and transparency? What would that government look like? And, you know, Erwin, I gave you a lot of time to talk. Why don't you shut up while I talk?
Sure.
Good enough. Thank you. Yeah, well, you folks, why don't you be quiet? I'll rule you out of order if you don't. You better... As you can tell, there's a lot of passion about this. But what if you were to construct a new government? And what if you got around to talking about how do we actually implement the policies and the direction set by City Council? What should that look like? You've got people with expertise or at least knowledge of areas that are bureau directors. Some of them have come from within the bureaus and some from outside. But who's over that? And basically, there's two choices that the community would be presented with. The first choice is the current system, is that you have an elected official that was not elected based on their ability for any particular bureau, but on their leadership abilities in terms of developing policy and carrying out that, ensuring that the policy was carried out. The issue I have with the commission form is that we should change either how we elect the commissioners or change what their function is. By how we elect them is that we don't ask them what their areas of expertise are, like that original commission form suggested. But they are elected, and you can look at this group of people. You can look at the last group, Mayor Katz. You can go to any group. You can say, you know, those are really good folks, and they did do a lot of good things. But in terms of who manages the bureaus of the city, is it better to have a person who may or may not have a particular skill for a bureau or for management generally? Or do you want a manager who is professional, who understands very clearly how to manage and get results? It's been talked about efficiencies. I think the new form creates the base for a more efficient and effective government. If you were to put a manager in charge, a professional manager, and the qualified or the qualifications are in the charter, and that they have to have the qualifications and experience in order to carry out that job, and it doesn't really say where they live, but you would know that a city CAO position would be hard-pressed if they weren't living in the city to get a job. But if you wanted to construct a city council, then you think about what their duties are in terms of setting the policy and having someone else implement it. Then this new form is very effective, will be very effective, at setting those policies. The council will have the last say when it comes to public policy. And I want to read some of the differences that even though the mayor will appoint the top manager, the council will be charged with confirming or rejecting that appointment, those appointments. While the mayor will be accountable for the performance of every bureau, the council will exercise oversight through investigations and hearings. And while the mayor will implement the policy, the council will set the strategic direction and hold the power of the purse strings with the city budget. Instead of five people being charged with all three branches of government, there will be some checks and balances between the policy and its implementation. I believe that this is a healthier way for a city to operate. I believe that by doing that, you can begin to hold people accountable. The phrase used just a short while ago was that that would then have the mayor or the CAO have people more within their grasp and be able to punish them. And I don't think it's about punishment. I think it's about accountability. This does establish accountability. And if you want to know if it's a function of not being able to carry out the public policy set by council, you know exactly who to go to. the mayor, the CAO. But the mayor is an elected official, and they will be held accountable. I think it puts an additional onus on a mayor by doing this, but I think it's the right approach. I think that the mayor should be responsible for the administration and executive functions of a city. I also believe that the checks and balances in